Are you truly stepping into the role of leader in your own life the way you know you're meant to? What shifts would unlock your full potential? It's time to explore those answers with the host of Sacred Leadership, intuitive business coach, Charisse Alexander.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network. My name is Charisse Alexander, and I am joined today by Tamara Zoner. I said it right. Where we are going to be covering the topic of the nervous system and leadership. Your nervous system may be the most important leadership tool you've never been taught to use. In today's episode, I'm sitting down with Tamara Zoner, where we explore the role of regulation, safety, and embodiment in high level leadership. Together, we unpack how nervous system awareness impacts decision-making, presence, communication, and organizational culture. This conversation is essential for leaders who want to lead calmly, clearly, and sustainably, especially in uncertain or high-stress environments. Tamara Zoner is a speaker and coach on a mission to create greater happiness in the world by teaching individuals and groups the actions and habits of happiness. A show not tell single mom to three awesome kids and a karaoke enthusiast, which I love, Tamara demonstrates daily how to create a life you love. Energetic and enthusiastic, she brings a room to life with her positive presence, even when presence is virtual. She can speak for hours about the habits and actions that foster happiness and how people can create a life they love through small actions that foster happiness. So first of all, welcome, Tamara, and thank you for joining me today, where we are going to dive in. But not only are you a happiness coach, what else do you do?
I am a yoga teacher, a Reiki master teacher, and I'm currently working on a somatic certification and my 300 training for yoga. So this is a beautiful topic to have today because I'm in it right now.
I love it. I'm all about somatic practices and really being in the body. So tell us a little bit about the journey, how you got here. And, you know, we're going to talk about happiness because for some listeners, it might be like, well, gee, can't you just be happy? Well, it's really not that straightforward, is it?
It's not. It's absolutely not. So my journey began, I mean, I've been on it forever, but really what started me on this work is that I realized how unhappy I was. I was in an emotionally abusive marriage, and I found myself being a person I didn't like or respect. I was yelling at my kids, who were very little at the time, and I just thought, this is not the plan I had in mind as a parent or for a relationship, and this is not okay anymore. And I started looking into life coaching and getting back. I had studied psychology and sociology at university and sort of left it all behind, got married and moved across the world. And then I thought, no, I need to get back to my authentic self, because this woman who's showing up and taking this kind of treatment is not who I want to be. And so I first started getting into life coaching, and then I swear it found me something called the passion test, and it was the transformational tool that I used to get my life back on a path that felt in integrity and authentic. And so I became certified in that as well. And I'm still teaching that. It's the first tool I go to with any new client to identify the map they want to create of their life, how they want to feel and what they want to be doing and showing up in their lives. And then slowly but surely, I built my own inner strength to be able to leave that marriage and start fresh as a single mom of three little kids who are now almost all grown up, 20, 19, and 16. And I started as a coach, as a speaker, but then as a single mom, I needed to feed the kids, and running your own business as a newly single mom is challenging. So I looked for and felt for work that felt aligned, and I ended up in senior living as a director of life enrichment, which was perfect because my mission is all about like bringing people their authentic joy and teaching them how to cultivate it for themselves. And I got to have fun with my elders and take them to musicals, which I adore.
I love that.
Museums. And it was so aligned. It was so much fun. And then COVID hit. And my job, which was to bring people together, like in spaces together, was just blown apart. And all I could do was call my seniors and check in on them. And,
Yeah.
for months, we were actually the senior community I worked at was the first senior community in Michigan to have a case of COVID. And I got sick that first week. I was exposed and got sick and had some soul searching time off of work, where I realized that although I loved my job, the company I worked for wasn't in alignment with my values anymore. And then it, as it does, like this training and happiness kept coming up. It just kept showing up in my emails. And I'd been in this teacher, Marcy Shymoff's arena for a long time, but I'd never considered taking the training. And then I did. Because it just, I'm a go with my gut kind of a person, and it when I see something in my experience multiple ways, multiple times, I listen, I pay, I'm okay, I hear you, spirit, you're talking to me. And so I took that training, and it was so life-changing, not just for me, but for my residents as they were coming out of seclusion. I could bring like 10 together at a time in a big room and teach them the actual habits and skills of emotional well-being and happiness. And I thought, oh my gosh, I can't keep this to this one community. It is time for me to step back out on my own and teach this to the masses. And that is what I've been doing for the last 5 years, a little over that. Then came the yoga, which I've been doing since I was 18 years old. And I started teaching seminars at a wellness studio. And they said, hey, we don't have emotional fitness here. Do you want to teach something? So I did. I started doing workshops there. And then they said, hey, are you interested in teacher training? And I thought, no. No, I'm not interested in, I love doing yoga. I love being yoga, but I've never considered teaching yoga
Teach
until I did.
that.
And I took it and I loved it. And now I'm a teacher and I've been doing that. I've been teaching now since March of 2025. Started my training all the whole year of 2024. But I've been living yoga my
Yeah.
whole adult life. So it was such a natural progression. And now I get to weave in these practices of happiness in a yoga class in the quiet spaces. And it feels so aligned. Everything just fits.
Yeah. As you were talking about your journey and how it took you like to the seniors and then you took the course and then you started coaching, and the one thing I want to bring here to the audience is you talked about signs and messages, because people always ask that question about like, well, how do I know? And you just said what I always say. When I see something two, three times, once I can dismiss, twice you've got my attention, third time I know you're talking to me, right? And I think that we see those that's what it's called, a synchronicity, often. So pay attention when you are on this journey of happiness. It's partly the somatic piece, but it's also the messages that you literally are having in front of you. Now, here's a question I would pose. Does that count on like Instagram and TikTok?
I would say yes. I would definitely
Okay.
say yes. Like if you keep getting the same message coming up, then pay attention. It's funny because I just came from doing a little mini workshop on self-awareness
Yeah.
and the courage required to get really clear on and in your life, like what's working for you and where are you lying to yourself and what truth could you tell yourself today? And it all really begins in the body, right? So I know when it was time for me to leave the senior living community, I felt it in my body first. And speaking of signs, I remember asking spirit, as I call it, like, when is it time? Like, I knew that I was meant for something more. And I would say, okay, when is it time for me to leave this secure job and step out on my own? And during the COVID process, it really felt loud. And notice I said it felt loud. It wasn't a sound. I heard it. I felt it in my body. And so one day I was sitting down meditating and I said, okay, when it's time, show me a sign. Show me a sign. I did this every day for I don't know, a couple of months. Show me a sign. One day, I finally said, okay, show me a sign, but make it so clear that I cannot mistake it for a sign because I will purposely avoid seeing that sign. So I get to my computer at work and I open up. I was in charge of the social media for the property and I went on to post. But the first thing I see is an Oracle card post and it's a door and it says, this is your door. When will you walk through it? And I cracked up and I said, okay, that's a
Thank you.
really clear sign. Thank you. Now do it again tomorrow and maybe I'll believe you.
Right? And that's what we do. Like, okay, you sent me the sign. Now I don't believe the sign. So just to be sure, send it to me one more time.
And it did 2 days in a two more days in a row. So 3 days in a row. And I said, okay, I believe it. I'm a Capricorn, so I'm naturally skeptical, of course. And I said, okay, all right. So that day I wrote my resignation letter and I waited for the sign for when it was right to give it. And it was about 2 weeks later. And I just felt this like pull into my boss's office that I could not abide. I literally felt moved to her door and said, ooh, can I talk to you? And she knew what was coming. So she was
You're
like,
like,
no.
oh,
Yeah, it's now. Okay.
I finish my coffee? I love that. And the reason why I bring it up is because when we're encouraging leaders, I work in an office with 60 people. And I'm always trying to talk about, okay, I get the logical piece. I got logic down, like down pat. How do we? And so when I'm talking to people, I'm like, I'm encouraging you to invite in your intuition. I'm encouraging you to invite in just like something that you can't see. So those gut feelings and things like that. And it does begin with what you're talking about of send me a sign, right? And it starts really, really small. Would you agree that this is part of the journey? And then, of course, the somatic practices and all of that.
Absolutely, 100%. And I said earlier, it begins in the body. It's this, your intuition is just a feeling. And a lot of intuition, especially for leaders in business who have been around for a while, who have learned a lot, that intuition just isn't coming from themselves. It's coming from what they've learned and known that all lives still in here. Like everything that we see, that we learn, it lives in the brain, whether we can access it or not. So those gut feelings, we can trust those. When we practice trusting those, because it's not just our body or our mind making something up, it's lived experience speaking to us.
So how do we become so disconnected? Like why we're so not trusting? Like your story just highlighted, like you got the sign, you asked for it, you literally got it as soon as you got to work, but then you're like, do it again tomorrow. Right? So why are we so not trusting of it?
Think that over many decades, self-trust, intuition has been deemed negative or woo-woo, or, if you can't prove it, if you can't put it down or find it, look it up in a book or talk to some expert who can corroborate, then it doesn't count. But if we were to go back to the old ways, say before civilization developed to the point where it's books or nothing. There was so much of our development as human beings was based on our connection to one another and our connection to the earth and our connection to ourselves. And those three things all worked together. And then we separated from, our tiny little villages or tribes, and we moved into more developed cities and learned to sit in a classroom and sit still, and we lost this connection almost on purpose. We disconnected. And I think we're coming around full circle where
I
there's
agree.
so many of us who are now like, no, these four walls are not all there is. This book isn't all there is. There's something more. And those people and those leaders who tune into that something more are the most effective.
Absolutely. I love that. And I was about to ask you, but you've answered the question, which was, do you feel like it's shifting? And I agree. And I don't know if it's just because I'm so in this that now it's like, I'm a beacon of light that's like just bringing it all to me. Or I think because the way that I talk, the way, so I'm always like talking about verbiage and manifesting and energy. And I even try to make it accessible for people. So even if I don't want to talk about energy, I might say, this feels like this. This is giving me this energy. And then I find that people around me start talking the same way. So I do think that it is also shifting where we are really trying to connect to that thing that really binds and connects us all. And frankly, I'm excited.
Me too. I love it. And I love that you, I like to say I translate for some people, right? Like I'm a bridge from someone who's very opposed, maybe, or frightened of, or nervous of, like that world we can't see or touch tangibly. But they see something in people like us and they're like, oh, but I want that too. And so it's an invitation. I often call myself a bridge from the super practical to the super spiritual. And you can meet me there in the middle and find a safe way to pass over so that you can bring more of that into your life, trust yourself more, and see that it's not like I'm not just floating on stars or living in the trees or right? I live a practical, grounded life, which I
I got
really
bills.
appreciate. I'm not like living on a hillside disconnected from the world. I'm living in the real, in this current world, but also creating the reality, the experience of life that I want to.
And I love that you said that, and we're going to pick that thought up because I do want to go with that creation of experience, so much so that I'm writing it down. When we come back from our first break, we'll be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to charisse@pavitraleadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse on the Inspired Choices Network, where I am joined today by Tamara Zoner, and we are talking about the nervous system as a leadership tool. And right before the break, Tamara was talking about creating the life that you desire, right? Because we were talking about being the bridge between the practical and the super spiritual, and how it's really an invitation versus a, hey, you got to do it this way, and how we can really use these practices and methodologies and modalities to like really create a life that you love. So tell us more about creating that life.
So creating a life you love requires consciousness. It requires being aware of what you're already creating and being able to observe whether you like it or not without a ton of judgment. And to be able to say, well, gosh, I don't particularly care for the results that I have. So a lot of people will look outside of themselves to fix or change what they don't like about their current life experience. And unfortunately for them, it's an inside job. It really, really, truly is. So when we look at what happiness is, it is really an inner state of peace and well-being that doesn't depend on circumstances, because there's something called a set point, and this is kind of vital for this conversation. There's a happiness set point, and if you imagine a pie, 50% of this happiness set point that the research in positive psychology and happiness has borne out in the last couple of decades, 50% of it is genetic. And only 10% is circumstantial. So the weather, the president, the neighbor Canadian, the like what you weigh or what you ate this morning or your boss's mood.
Or 50% is genetic?
50% is genetic.
That's huge.
It is. I joke because my sister and I teach similar concepts, but I joke that I got the happy gene and she got the grumpy one, because I do it this way and she's a cop who teaches the academy. So she teaches the same stuff, but in a very different way for a very different reason. Yeah. And so, yeah, like you're born with it. So I'll tell you in a second. We can't change it, but we can change it. So yeah. That 10% sliver is our circumstances. But what makes up the rest, that 40%, are our habits of thoughts and behavior. So what and how we think, and then what we do about it. But the even cooler thing, Charisse, is that scientists who study epigenetics, the relationship of our environment on our genes, on our DNA, have discovered that our habits of thought and behavior impact our DNA. Yeah. So we have up to 90% influence on our lives, on our happiness set point. And we can raise that happiness set point through the kinds of habits and behaviors that support us. So negative thinking is a human trait. That's how we evolved. It's actually a good thing. So if you know a negative Nancy in your life, it's not like the worst thing to have. She's going to protect you. She's going to watch out for the dangers and keep you safe and modify as needed, right?
Isn't that what my brain does already?
Yes, it does, because this is how we've evolved. But a lot of people will notice that it also keeps them down, depressed, angry, frustrated, limited. Yeah. So again, we just practice awareness. We practice noticing. People will be like, Tamara, how do I change my way of thinking then? Well, first of all, notice it. Like, take a week and just notice your habitual thoughts. Notice if you're complaining and what you're complaining about. No, just notice. And then week two, we're going to catch ourselves in the act of that habitual complaint, of the negative, 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 and we're going to start to turn it around. Well, I've just thought of a negative. Can I think of three good things?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe it's only 40 degrees, but it's sunny today, and I woke up rested, and I had a really good conversation at the yoga studio this morning. Easy. So I'm outweighing the negative to retrain the brain. And fortunately, we know we can create new neural pathways in the brain now, no matter what age we are. We can train the brain to look for the good and to see more of it, because we're looking for it instead of always in the negative. So that's one of the first pieces of conscious creation, is noticing your habitual patterns. Do they support you or not?
Yeah.
And then leveling up that awareness in, well, how am I creating this? How do I create the fight with my partner every day, or the arguments with my kids, or whatever it is?
I'm so glad that you brought that up, because there's often resistance on it, right? Like, and when you say that to somebody or imply it, like, well, if you don't love your experience, consciously change it.
Yes.
And then there's the defensiveness of, are you calling me? Are you saying it's my fault? No, I'm not saying that.
Right. And I'll often preface, especially if I'm doing like a longer retreat or workshop, it's not your fault. Mm-hmm. But now that you're aware of it, it's your responsibility to make the changes that will support a life that actually feels good, because I believe we're all here for a reason, and that reason is simply to enjoy life. And not always. There's going to be hard parts, but that can make us stronger, more resilient, and smarter in the way that we move through the world.
That's part of the growth, though. right? Like that's part of learning. Like learning doesn't happen in a vacuum. You can't theoretically learn something, you can have knowledge of it, but for that to really settle into the cells of you, you gotta learn it, and that is through experience and the practice of it, right? So you use the example of just noticing your thoughts, and then the next week choosing to now make a different choice. Now you can show up differently. And the reason why I wanted to go back to that, I didn't even actually realize it was so much 50% genetic. And so, in other words, what you're saying is like the patterns, the belief systems, all of these things, you're born into this. And so you're not even aware that you're holding really stuff that's not your own. And it's the life experiences for something that might be dormant that either wakes it up or it continues to stay dormant. So how do we begin to then, and the most one of the most important things that you said there was first acceptance that, oh, I did create this, and then not slipping into shame and judgment and all this other kind of stuff. So give us an example of what this looks like. I love the example of, oh, did I manifest or did I create the argument with my spouse? Let's go down the rabbit hole with that.
So I'm holding a belief, maybe from childhood or even beyond, because we know now that we inherit trauma in ourselves, we inherit all sorts of things that we didn't know we did 50 years ago. And then let's say I've been raised in an environment where, and this is a true story for me, where my mother was like, never depend on a man. They're still married 60 years on, but never depend on a man, and men are a-holes. And so I'm raised with this very negative belief about men, and seeing the treatment of my sister and I versus my two brothers, very different, very sexist household. Love them all,
I love when
but
we do that. This is what happened, but I love everybody.
love everybody. Learned so much. Thank you for teaching me. And so now I come in, and if I'm unconscious, right, I'm responding to my partner as under the assumption that he is or will be an a-hole. And I'm going to react from that way until I get it up into my sight line and go, oh my gosh, this is the belief I'm operating from. I don't want to believe that. Like, let's take it apart. And I actually did, if you do some shadow work, it's pretty phenomenal, where I was doing the shadow work with another coach. We were working together and trading services, and I realized I'd been responding to my current partner as if he were my ex-husband, who was abusive. But my current partner is a wonderful man who works on his own mental health and everything. And I was like, oh gosh, I'm just reacting from what I knew, from what I learned, not from where I'm at or who I'm with. So continually checking in with this awareness of what's my operating system, doesn't need an upgrade. What do I need to be aware of? What kind of mind reading am I doing? The assumptions I'm making, even if a door slams, ooh, he's mad. Is he, or did the wind catch it? We're making up stories all of the time. And with any story, it's important to fact check. So cultivating the awareness and being willing to ask yourself these questions, being willing to sit with the discomfort of, oh yeah, I manifested this argument. I have parents come to me all the time and say, could you work with my kids? Could you work with my teenager? No, but I'll work with you. And you'll see, and they do, the atmosphere change, you change, you start to respond differently.
And I say that to people I work with as well, and it t often turns into like, well, why do I have to do the heavy lifting? Because you have the awareness. If what I'm saying to you resonates and it feels like it could be true, or at least that you're interested, it's your responsibility because you, and just try it. Don't believe me. Just try it. I could be totally wrong.
Just see what happens. Would you be willing to see what happens? And I want to go back to that word responsibility versus fault. If we say, oh, it's not my fault, but then who has the power in your life? It's not my fault that my colleagues are rude to me. Okay, but whose responsibility is it to bring that into awareness and change maybe the behavior? So if it's not my fault my kids argue with me, but I'm yelling at them or I'm arguing with them, what are they learning? Just what they're seeing. And if I'm
Exactly.
willing to take total responsibility for the stuff I love and the stuff I don't, then I have the power to make those changes. But if I say it's his fault, if I blame or I shame or I complain, then I have no power over it.
No, because it's outside of you. And
Right.
we can't have any control over anything outside of us. And
Right.
it's funny, I had this friend years ago, way before I started this work. She said, when you shift your perspective, your entire perspective changes. Years ago. And I was like, yeah, you know what? You're right. When I change my, and I think that's what we're talking about. When you start to pay attention to these things and become conscious of them and show up differently and respond versus react, you're mindful of your tone, then everything else around you does genuinely shift. So,
Yes, yes.
it's actually kind of, that's why when you talk about the shadow work, it's a necessary part of this. You
It is.
can't, I don't know how you actually effectively do this without going into the dark side a little bit.
I don't think you can. And I think that's part of where the nervous system work comes into place too, is because it's unsettling, right?
Yes, it
And it's
is.
very uncomfortable and will get activated in the body. And so it's really important to bring the body back to a calm base. And I remember when my second child was just a baby. I'd put him in the crib, tuck him in, sing him a song, say goodnight. I'd go back downstairs. My husband and I would have whisper arguments. They couldn't hear us, but that baby would cry every time because
Felt
our
it.
nervous systems are
Yeah.
connected.
Yeah.
They're connected, so they pick up on the physiological cues. So if we've got kids, teenagers, or husbands, or partners, or colleagues who are reacting negative to us, it is probably not just a mental emotional response, it's a physiological response. My body is gearing up for a fight because I'm smelling it, right? If we go back to the caveman days, animals can sense this. Why do we need to stay calm around strange dogs? Because they'll sense fear.
Yeah.
So we've got to keep ourselves calm in order to keep the situation calm
I love
or
that.
get ourselves back to calm.
We are going to dive more. I keep saying it. We're going to talk more about it when we come back. But we are going to go to, I think, our second break, and we're going to talk exactly about that, right? The physiologic, the nervous system and the physiological impact and how we can quickly bring ourselves back to calm. And also like the long-term effect of like implementing these types of modalities so that we can, it's just there, right? More often than not, right? So we'll be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to Charisse at pavitraleadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network, where I am joined by Tamara Zoner, and we are talking about the nervous system as a leadership tool. In the first and second segments, we were chatting about really creating the life that you love, and also how acceptance and understanding that the experiences that we have, whether we love them or not, are ultimately of our own creation, and how the work to leadership, or first being a leader in your own life and then ultimately having authority over others, does require a degree of courage, because we're going to be uncomfortable. And right before the break, you were talking about the need to like really begin to regulate the nervous system, because we do become activated when we really engage with this work. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Okay. We cannot operate in a stress state. The brain shuts down and all the resources are directed to simply be able to fight, flight, or freeze. So in order to be effective in our personal lives, in our working lives, in our leadership lives, we've got to learn how to calm the nervous system. And not just that, like, calm down, Charisse. You know, not just like bottling up and keeping quiet, but actually taking the nervous system from to and that right there is where it starts, just a breath.
And that's such an important point to make. And I'm glad that you made it, because I thought about myself when you said that. And I've always been outwardly very calm. On the inside, I'm a raging beast. I mean, I'm much better now, but the distinction that you just made, just because I'm not outwardly responding doesn't mean that my nervous system, and what does that look like for people like me, or for people who might not always put it out there? What would you be feeling in your body? Like, what would be the myriad of symptoms that you might be feeling if your nervous system is just in chaos?
Yeah, so you might be feeling tightness in the shoulders. You might be feeling a churning in the belly. You might be feeling tightness of the jaw, or a headache, or your breath will become shallow, or you're wired. You're actually tightening, right? So one of the first things I'll teach people who aren't very body aware is to do a 1 minute scan. 2 to 3 times a day. And I'll joke, because we're busy in our lives, right? If the only time you have to do this is the 1 minute you take in the bathroom between meetings, do it then. And all we have to do is start to take a few deeper breaths and notice, just scan the body head to toe. Where am I holding tension? Where are my shoulders in relation to my ears? Whoo! Am I gripping my belly? I'll even notice I grip my fingers sometimes in stress. Like, I'll just, so unclench. And unclench anywhere you're clenching. And it starts with noticing where you carry tension and breathing into it. So the breath is the freest, most available tool, and the best tool to start to take the body out of that crisis response and back into our cool, calm, in the body now. I can actually be in my body. I can actually be in the room with you. I can actually think now, because all of my blood and resources aren't just in the muscles ready to sprint. They are now flowing through my brain, so my thinking becomes clearer. And it's been shown, the Institute of Heart Math studies this. I mean, there's lots of studies on our stress response and then the opposite, calming our nervous systems. But what we see is that we actually lose brain cells under intense stress and prolonged stress. And they can come back, but we can't think as clearly. Our memory is gone. Our patience is gone. Our blood pressure spikes. The cortisol in our blood goes up. All very, very hard on the body, especially if it's a chronic pattern. So this is where we see hypertension or cardiovascular events, because we're elevated all of the time. And when we So just 5 minutes in a state of frustration, stress, anger can depress the immune system for up to 6 hours.
Wow.
Our cognitive functioning declines, and that's just in 5 minutes.
That's nuts.
It is nuts. It's like a little scary. So the cool thing is that just 5 minutes in a state of love, appreciation, or gratitude, those nicer feelings to have, can boost the immune system for up to 6 hours and reduces the cortisol, that stress hormone in the blood, starts to promote some oxytocin, which is where we feel good and happy and connected and loving. And it's actually really easy to bring your system back online.
Yeah.
There's a 3-minute process called the quick coherence technique because it's quick and you can take 5 minutes to get the full effect, but it just starts with some breath. It just starts with lengthening the breath. So everybody listening can take a deeper breath.
I love it. I love taking a breath. I really enjoyed that breath.
And then you just keep that up. And it's not like you're doing deep yogic breath. You're just increasing the length and the depth of the breath a little bit more than your natural breath. And then you might begin to imagine the breath moving in and out of the heart center. And I know some very mind-minded people will be like, you can't breathe in your heart. Just imagine. The lungs are real close there. So just imagine the breath flowing in and out of the heart. And you do that for a minute or so. And then icing on the cake is to consciously cultivate feelings of love, appreciation, and gratitude. So whether that's thinking of your pet that you love so much, or your favorite place in the world, or imagining you're hugging your beloved, or you're playing with your kids or your grandkids or whatever, whatever brings you those real feelings, because the brain does not know what's real, remembered, or imagined. So we can trick it into any response we want. So we imagine that we're having this experience with someone or some place or something that we love so much that we actually feel love. We actually feel gratitude. And yes, that can be challenging when we're in an elevated state and somebody just really, you know, pressed our buttons. But with practice, it gets easier.
It does.
Right?
It really, really does. It does. And all the things you said are so correct. And that's why it's a practice.
Yes.
Because we have become so disconnected and we're trained for mm-hmm. survival reasons to look for danger and look for all the things that are scary and terrible. So now we're just going in the other direction. Mm-hmm. And the one that you talked about, the visualization of, like, I always find that for my kids, and it's like, as soon as you know what that feeling feels like, then you can start to connect it to the other things. Because
yeah.
the other thing that I found that was, believe it or not, difficult for me was like, well, how do I know what that feels like, right? Because you're not in your body, like, how do you know what that feels like?
Mm-hmm.
And then I felt it and I'm like, oh, this is what it feels like, right? And for me, it actually brings me to tears. So, and that's how I know that I'm sitting in my heart.
Yes.
And heart-centered and in love, if I can feel like I want to cry over it. So
I love that. That's like some serious gratitude. And I always say, like, when we cry, it's love overflowing.
Yeah, it's true.
I love the point that you brought up, though. What if you don't know what that feels like?
Yeah.
What if maybe you've had such a life that you've never known what that feels like, but somewhere in there is an experience, no matter how the hardest life of all, somewhere there's been a moment that felt like relief, and we can start there. So remember a time when maybe you were just taking a walk or you saw a sunset that was stunningly beautiful, and you had that moment of awe and wonder and love. We can go there. So whatever you can find that gets you to go is where you start, and then you can cultivate a little bit more. Oh yeah, now I remember that one person, that teacher, or that, you know, neighbor was so kind. I'm gonna
and
remember
that's
how that
it,
felt.
It's training. You're really training yourself to look for kindness and love. And I had this conversation, last point, and then we'll go to break. But I'd had this conversation with somebody recently, and we were talking about love. And I'd said to them, I said, you know, we're so conditioned to look for love in one specific way. And I said, I remember I was having one of those moments with my partner where I was like, you know, you might have a fight or whatever the thing may be. And you're just like, just show me some love. And that was literally what I put out there. And I went out about my day. And that very moment that you're talking about, and I remember it was a couple and they were just walking down the street and they were having a nice intimate moment. And it immediately reminded me that, you know, this too in this moment shall pass. This, you're just, you asked for it here. It had nothing to do with me, but it reminded me that it exists everywhere if we are opening our eyes and looking for it. So that is the training. But we will come right back after, I think, what's our final break? Geez, Louise, this time is just flying right by. We will be right back.
Leadership isn't reserved for CEOs or world leaders. It's something each of us is called to embody in our own lives. But how do you awaken that inner leader with clarity and confidence? On Sacred Leadership with intuitive business coach Charisse Alexander, you'll discover powerful tools and spiritual insights to align your words, actions, and outcomes. Tune in every Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific, right here on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is Sacred Leadership with Charisse Alexander. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to charisse@pavitraleadership.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back to Sacred Leadership with Charisse here on the Inspired Choices Network. If you are enjoying today's content and the content that I bring week after week, please go find me on your favorite platform and give me a five-star review. Now, back to the topic at hand. We are having a juicy conversation today. I am joined by Tamara Zoner, where we are talking about the nervous system as a leadership tool. I've got all these questions and I am sucking at following them today. But one of the questions that I have, you talked about the analytical mind. So I'm thinking about this in the context of like the workplace, when you've got the really busy executive that's just like in their head all the time. How do you begin to get them to understand that, or to see that maybe there's a different way that they can begin to bring their nervous system? Because I imagine when you're in your head all the time, that your nervous system is ramped all the time. So how do you begin to help them to see that, like, there's another way to do this?
Well, the thing is, they have to want it.
Of course.
Right? We have to get uncomfortable to a point or have a moment where maybe there's a real disruption in our lives or our health to see that it's worth making a change. Because I really believe one thing I've always prefaced in my coaching is that you have to want to do this work, because I cannot do it for you. You know, and any therapist, any coach, any leader who is trying to teach and guide, you have to want it. And unfortunately, that desire often comes with a major life event. Either our spouse says, I'm sorry, I can't take this anymore. I want a partner who'll be with me, not who's always at work, whether their body is in bed with me or not, you know, or a health crisis. So often, and unfortunately, we have to get to a point where the discomfort becomes louder than the comfort of the known. Right. And I think that a lot of people get there even without a big event. It just, they've grown tired of the way it's always been. They've grown tired. They are tired. They're exhausted. Yeah. They're burned out. And so we can have the big event, or we can have the burnout that comes a little bit slowly but strongly, where then they go, okay, I've got to change something.
Yeah.
And when they're open to that change is when they might come to someone like me or someone like you or a therapist or a doctor. And it's like, well, let's look at what's working and what isn't. Right? Let's just look. And I love to approach this so gently because we're going to have sustainable change if we start small. You said it's a practice. Yes. Like you, if you follow me anywhere on social media, you'll see hashtag happiness is a practice.
It is.
Right? So we start with baby steps so that we can build on them. And the first one is just breathe more. I will always come back to the breath because it's the one tool that's always available to us. And we don't have to pay anybody to take one deeper. It just inhale, exhale. That's a tool available to start with anytime. And when you start paying attention to how you feel and you notice that you feel better, you're more likely to take that next baby step. So now maybe I'm going to notice when my breath grows shallow, when I need to take a deeper breath to feel present. Okay, now I'm ready. Okay, maybe it's time for me to look at my environment or my inner environment, my way of thinking. Like, what's going on with me? And what are the changes that I can make that can be sustainable? Because not every, there's tons of tools, tons of modalities. We know it. There's like thousands of them, and not everyone works for everyone. So what I love to do for clients is introduce and have them try on various tools. So I'll give you 1 week. Try this. Practice EFT for a week. A lot of people feel like tapping is really weird and uncomfortable. Okay, tap on that then. If you still don't like it after a week or two, if you haven't felt a shift or a benefit, then we'll try something different. Or if you have felt a shift and or a benefit and it's still uncomfortable, keep doing it because change is uncomfortable. That's why we resist it. Or like, around New Year's, lots of people make resolutions, set goals for change. But around the second Friday, infamously known as Quitter's Day, most people drop off their new habits, their goals, their resolutions. So I'll go with a theme for the year so that there's a guiding force. How do I want to feel and be in my life this year? And so those, like, just take it small. Everybody wants the big leap, the massive transformation in a heartbeat, but it doesn't happen that way. And that's the reality is we've got to take it slowly, like the turtle instead of the hare, so that it lasts, so that we can build one breath upon the next, 1 week, one habit, one change, one practice. And if we stick with that, we'll look back 6 months, a year from now, and go, wow, I'm a totally different person with a totally better life.
That happened to me last year. I had approached goal setting very differently and just put all these I wrote intentions versus goals. And when I got to the end of 2025, so this year when I did my vision board, I did it totally different. I put the things, and it allowed me to actually have a moment of gratitude because I was like, oh my gosh, my life is so amazing. I don't even know what else to ask for. Right. And so I put one, the spot I put on my vision board was just a question mark with 2026 with what else is possible. So in other
I
words,
love it.
like what can't I see? Like bring it my way that, supports me on my journey.
Yes.
So you've talked a lot about the breath. Is there another, we've got like 1 minute left. So what are just a couple of things that listeners can do? So there's the breath, but they can also help them to begin on this practice of like mindfulness, being more present in the body, like really being grounded within the body.
Start paying attention to your thoughts. Really start paying attention to when you are able or willing to stay in a moment and when you want to run away and scroll or pick up your phone or eat something or turn on Netflix. Like, so just start to pay attention to that feeling of wanting to get away from yourself.
Wow. I never thought of that before. I know it in obvious moments, but I didn't know in those little moments that that's what that is as well. Huh. I learned
So
something today.
catch yourself. And then again, once you're aware of it and you're, okay, this is what I do. Ooh, I feel like running. Incorporate the breath and then just stay with yourself.
Thank you so much for joining me today, Tamra. I love today's conversation. I really enjoyed
it. Thank you for listening to the Sacred Leadership Show. Charisse returns Wednesday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific on the InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, continue taking small steps today to be a leader in your life for the collective. Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific on the InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, continue taking small steps today to be a leader in your life for the collective.